Hello, everybody, and welcome to Roleplay Balance of Power. This is episode two, but it's also episode one for the good guys. Last week, we saw some terrible behavior on the part of Jesse and his Imperial goons. And today, maybe we'll be able to make good on some of the bad times that we saw there. I am joined by some familiar faces. I think, Anne, you're the only one I haven't gotten to play a role-playing game with
This is
before. Did we
true,
get to play
yeah.
West? We didn't play West Marches together yet, have we?
No. Yes, you
Cool.
did.
Well, welcome. I'm excited. So yeah, let's because it's sort of the start of the new show, why don't we do introductions? We'll go around and get everybody to introduce themselves. We'll save the character introductions for in-game and then we'll get started because I want to give you as much time as possible. So, Caitlin, do you want to start us off?
Sure, with a person introduction or character introduction?
Save the character stuff for in-game.
Oh,
Tell us about who you are in case
okay.
people somehow missed out on the glory that was Mirror Shades.
That will definitely be coming back one day,
Of course, totally.
right? Well, I'm Caitlin, so I'll be more smiley now since I'm not in character. And I play a lot of StarCraft. Recently, I've been playing a lot of older games, but yeah, I've been role playing with the likes of Adam and Steven, and even back in the day with JP for a while now. So, really happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to play role-playing games with you again. I'm curious to see the differences between, based on what we've talked about so far, the differences between this character and the last one that you played in a game I ran. I have a feeling they're going to be pretty different. So I guess we'll see. We'll see. Maybe this character's a rock star too. I've been informed, Anne, that we did indeed play West Marches once.
Did we? All
I think so, but I
right, I
might
have a
be.
bad memory.
I know, me too. I'm really, really bad at remembering things like that, so it's
Yeah.
okay. We can pretend this is the first time if you want. Do
Okay.
you wanna tell the audience a little bit about yourself before we get
Sure.
started?
My name is Ann Munition. You may know me from Overwatch, aka Vera Munition. And I pl pretty much only play Overwatch lately. I'm usually a variety streamer, but I've been playing a lot of that with JP even. And I've not been on an actual roleplay show except for West Marches before. So I'm pretty excited about Balance of Power. Get to rock my Star Wars fangirlism.
Yeah, your character is really tough too. I'm excited. I was looking over all the characters
I
before the game and I was like, I would not want to get in a fight with Anne's character. They are a badass. Yeah, it's
know.
gonna be sweet. Did I see you were playing Hyper Light Drifter? Did you play that game?
Yeah,
What'd you think?
I played a quarter of it so far. I haven't played, it was hard, so I kind of wanted to take a break from it. It was a very challenging game, but I'm excited to keep playing it.
Cool.
So,
Have you beaten any of the bosses yet?
yes, I beat the boss in the like north, I guess. It's a stupid
The
giant bird.
bird? Oh my god, the
Yeah.
bird boss is like the worst one. I hated
Okay,
that.
good. Because I played
Yeah.
him first and that was terrible.
You want to feel good about yourself? Go fight the frog boss. Do the east one next. It'll be
Okay.
like, this game's for babies.
Awesome.
Awesome. So we are also joined by Zeke. I can't wait. The idea of you playing a droid is going to be amazing. I'm sure everyone's very excited about it. Tell us a little bit about yourself as a person before we introduce Robot Zeke.
You bet. My name is Ezekiel III. Zeke, I'm a variety broadcaster. I do a lot of stuff actually with JP involved. I do the West Marches, I do the drop frames and all that kind of stuff. I'm really excited because you just watching Adam do the Dr. Grigori and then do Swan Song and all that kind of stuff is just a treat, and I've been waiting for my opportunity to for him to DM for me, and I'm just super excited, or GM, I guess now. I do a lot of stuff. I just got back from St. Jude Summit, where we were, brainstorming ways to make money and stuff like that. And
Yeah, I saw some of that on Twitter. It looked like it was a really good time. There was a lot of photos. I think you said at some point, I'm not taking any photos because everyone else is.
yeah, no, I just wanted, I guess I wanted my Twitter feed to be like, I'll just look through everybody else's. You can just follow mine, because I'm just going to retweet everybody else's.
Yeah, the great thing about being at an event and being as photogenic as you are, Zeke, is that occasionally people will take a close-up photo of your face and turn it into a meme.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, moving right along to save Zeke worrying about that, Co, why don't you tell us about yourself a little bit? We haven't played a game together in fucking ages. Like,
it's been too long.
Yeah, when was our West Marches game? Was a long time ago.
It's been a long time. I've been kind of on a RP hiatus as I've been taking care of a lot of other stuff. But very glad to be back. I've been a big fan of Star Wars since the Enterprise. Love Jean-Luc. Big fan of all that stuff.
Right. Yeah, who's your cat?
Is that this one? Pretty sure that's
this
one.
Right?
No, but I'm super excited to play, and we got a great team here, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was wondering about all those Skype messages where you're like, "How many hit points does a Vulcan have? Can I just how do I live long and prosper? What's that about?
Can I wear the ears?"
I actually probably would have died a little if someone had showed up to the stream in a Star Trek uniform.
I want to be red shirt guy.
Yeah. Yeah, the Enterprise is my favorite Imperial starship as well. Cool. Well, I'm really glad to have everybody here. So this is sort of the beginning of the light side saga. If you're around for the last episode of Balance of Power, we did a little sneaky flip-flop at the end of that episode where we all realized that Jesse was evil, surprising no one, but that everybody was on the Imperial side. And then I got to announce our light side cast, and that was a high point of role play for me, where just being able to reveal that and have everybody freak out. So I hope the audience is as excited now as they were when we revealed, because we've got some light side rebellion action to go.
And immediately when you announced it, I don't know if anybody else's channel was live when they announced it, but I had like 40 people coming to my channel, "Rebel scum!"
Yeah. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't realize that you had announced it. So I was just like, what are these people all saying that to me? Like, what's going on? It was great.
Yeah. 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 It was exciting. I've been looking forward to seeing the two teams, and we're going to work on between sessions. I want to do an introductory session for both sides before we start talking about the direct competition stuff, because I'm going to be tracking both sides and kind of how effective you are at your missions. So there will be a winner at the end of the campaign. Either the Empire will win or the New Republic will stamp them out, but we'll see. Looking at your character sheets, I got some good feelings about y'all. These are good characters, I think. So let's get into it. Let's introduce these characters, and we'll start as we do in the tradition of our people with, imagine if you will, for a moment, a blank expanse, just darkness, a black screen, and in blue the words, "A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away." The words fade out. We get a blast of trumpets and strings, and and the words "role play balance of power" start to crawl up the screen. The following crawl reads, "The Empire has been defeated. Its horrific battle station, the Death Star, has been destroyed by a brave band of rebels, and the Galactic Emperor is dead. The fight is far from over, however, and Imperial holdouts continue to struggle against the New Republic throughout the galaxy. Conflict between the light and the darkness continues. On the jungle world of Jagomir, an elite unit of New Republic commandos prepare to liberate a long-abandoned Alliance base, hoping to find something there that will help them turn the tide against the Empire." So as the last words of the crawl go up off the screen, the darkness is replaced by a broad star field, and the camera kind of swoop pans down to what looks like a field of debris around a planet. The planet is a sort of greenish, gaseous looking mess, and around it there's abandoned satellites and pieces of space trash just kind of floating around. It looks like a garbage planet. One of the pieces of trash, the camera follows it. It looks like a satellite with an Imperial gear on the side of it. It's all like rusted and damaged, and as it comes across the frame, it gets shot by a space like blaster weapon, and we can see that the shot comes from a New Republic Corvette. It's one of those, like the ship that Princess Leia was in at the beginning of New Hope, the one with all the engines at the back. So we see one of those, and its blasters are firing at pieces of space trash that come flying toward it. And we wipe to the bridge of that ship. And standing on the bridge, we can see a Mon Calamari Republic officer standing looking out at the planet. And one of his junior officers comes up to him, and he's got huge 70s, like, mutton chop sideburns, because everybody in the rebellion was like in a 70s American for some reason. So the big sideburns, this guy comes up and he's like, "Shrike squadron's in position, sir." And the Mon Calamari turns to him and says, good, good. Tell them they can begin. And we diagonal wipe down to the planet. And first, I think the first thing we notice is the sounds of like a like jungle bird like calling off in the distance. There's a vast sort of expanse of bubbling swamp with vines and trees kind of like filling the area. And maybe a like sort of Jim Henson-esque bird creature sort of flies by, and we follow it and pan across a group of aforementioned New Republic commandos hulked down in the mud behind a log, sort of crouching and moving forward. And in the distance, we can see what looks like a structure of some kind, all covered in vines and sludge. When we pan the camera into your unit to Shrike Squadron, what do we see? Where are the characters? Is someone on lookout? Who's sort of leading? Where is everybody? And give us a brief description of what the camera sees on your character. Anybody can go first. Cody, you want to go?
Sure. So should we just give a little background of the character first?
Let's just take a look at the characters. Just tell us what we see. Imagine the shot in the movie. We'll learn the character's background as we go through the game.
Perfect. So my character is a Bothan. He speaks kind of like this, and he's a little bit taller than normal. He's right now kind of very much cautiously of where his body is, but also scouting the area as much as he can. He is looking around for any threats. He's looking, more importantly, where he needs to move to, because he's always trying to think a couple steps ahead. And most importantly, very focused on his objective right now.
Excellent. And are you armed? Do you have a weapon in your hands, or is it holstered?
What is that? I currently have a light blaster pistol, which I'm holding in my left hand. And I do not have it up, as I'm trying to kind of keep myself down as much as possible, kind of looking out. But it is very much at the ready, and very much keeping a full 360 on where we are. Not looking any particular directions, just kind of assuming threats could come from anywhere.
Excellent. Okay. So I guess I want to know, so Gunner, Caitlin, your character, are you with the group, or are you scouting ahead?
I was going to say that I'm standing beside our leader currently, waiting for instructions ahead. Okay, so right beside our leader, then you see a slender but still very muscular man dressed in all black, a very, very tight, kind of stealthy wetsuit with just strategic armor placement, short blonde hair flowing in the wind slightly, and just very attentive, waiting for orders of where to go to scout.
Mm-hmm. And are you armed? There you go, holding your blaster.
Right on my back.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so your vibro sword at the ready, but you have your blaster.
Yeah.
Okay. So we see the two of you, and I think you're like right up at the forefront, kind of like looking ahead towards your mission. And then as we pan back a little further behind, maybe slowed down by his slight lack of mobility, we see Kestrel and do you prefer Z3? Is that the shortened version of your
title? I was just gonna go with Zed.
Zed, okay, that's cool
Zed
too.
For short, but yeah, the full is Z3K3.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you can just call me Zed though. It's fine.
All right, so Kestrel, you and your droid are a little bit behind. What why don't we start with you? What does Kestrel look like, and what's your general kind of attitude in the moment?
So you see at the kind of back of the group a middle-aged woman, or middle-aged, like kind of a younger woman with long red hair, wearing heavy black and red, like leather, kind of like a pilot suit, like one of those jumpsuits that's like one piece. And I've got my light blaster pistol in my right hand, not pointed out, but lowered and at my side. I am holding it though at the ready.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. And then tagging along, taking up the rear, Zed, what do you look like, and what's your countenance? Are you as on guard as the rest of them, or what do we see from you?
I hope this works.
Sounds good to me.
I am a repurposed Death Star droid.
Oh, I won't do that every time, obviously. But I'm a repurposed Death Star droid. If you remember, they look like the mantis, like they got like the praying mantis eyes, like that. Kind of corroded because I was taken like during the fall of the Death Star. There was a lot of like, you know, parts and pieces of droids, and like I was functioning, but did Kestrel, did a memory wipe on me. I had like some mods installed, like one of my eyes was non-functioning, so they put a different eye in there. I am an engineering droid, and under my arm, like attached, is like you can see it's like a what looks like a blaster barrel that comes out. And then on the other one, I don't know. I'm not sure what a fusion cutter looks like, per se.
It's pretty much just like a welding torch.
Exactly. And then on the other arm, like underneath the other arm, you see that the welding torch coming off.
So which Death Star did you work on? The first one or the second one?
No, Death Star droid is just a term that they use.
Okay. So you weren't actually on either of the Death Stars?
No, it's because that's what they saw. They saw him on the Death Star, so they just dubbed them Death Star droid. But it is what is the designation for the Death Star droid, guys? Come on.
Something Y7, I think, or RA7. Yeah,
RA7. I looked him up. It's RA7. He's an RA7 droid, technically.
Cool. Okay.
But yeah, an engineering droid. That's my designation is engineering, and I am. I'm working for Kestrel. She's like, you know, my owner.
Okay, cool. So the group of you are, you're moving through this swamp on Jagomir, and you've been sent here to investigate some claims that in the system, I guess some locals had been reporting to the Republic that New Republic X-Wings had been like attacking supply ships in this sector, which obviously is not a thing that the Republic does. They're not pirates. Looking into Republic intelligence, it was realized that this planet had an abandoned Alliance base. So it was attacked by the Empire. The Rebel Alliance was forced to back off and leave the base. They left behind a squadron of X-Wings and some other military equipment that now, since you've sort of pushed the Empire back, you're able to go back and retrieve and to look into. So you can see, I think... Talra, you see in the distance the structure. It at one point probably was in a clearing. It's a big stone sort of structure. There's a power, like a tower with some comms equipment on it next to it. But it's all like covered in vines. Like the swamp, since it was abandoned a few years ago, the swamp has tried to reclaim it. So it's been kind of like wrapped in vines and it's covered in algae. It's maybe, you can see it maybe like a kilometer away. And from here, you can see kind of a path to it. It doesn't look like there's a lot of foot traffic that sort of comes and goes from here. But yeah, if somebody has macro binoculars, they can take a closer look, or you could send somebody to scout ahead. But I think you're the tactician in charge. So what's the next step for your team? Where's Shrike Squadron headed?
I have a personal hand scanner, if that helps.
We could use that. Also, don't we have a scout as well, don't we? Like someone who is good at scouting? Someone who's
waiting for your command, sir.
We need to move up, but do it slowly.
From the left? From the right?
Let's move up on the left. Make sure you stay in cover. And I kind of do one of these. And I look back at the other two to make sure they're ready.
Okay.
All right. I leave at the group.
So, Gunner, you wanna try and sneak forward?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So, what we're gonna do? I will show you how to roll the dice in this game because they're a little weird. So, we talked a little bit about this before we got started, but let's take a quick look at how to assemble a pool. So, Gunner, when you make any roll in the game, you're gonna be using one of your skills. So if you look at your skill list, you can see on it there's a stealth skill. If you scroll down, so before you click the little button at the end, I'll tell you the difficulty of the skill, and then we'll interpret the results together. So the more green and yellow dice you have, the more blue dice you have, the better the roll is likely to be. It'll give you a collection of symbols, and then I'm going to give you some bad dice to roll. They're going to take away from the successes you get. But before we do any of that, we get to roll the destiny pool. So every session at the very beginning, before we roll any of the dice, we all roll. Well, I don't because I'm just the dark side. You all roll a force die, and if you get white symbols, it builds up the destiny pool for you, and if you get black symbols, builds up the destiny pool for me. And then once we have that starting pool, we pass those points back and forth in exchange for improvements on our roll. So you can buy, as if for one roll you had a higher skill than you actually do. You can make rolls harder when they're opposing you. Or you can spend a destiny point to just declare something about the current fiction of the game that would otherwise be a coincidence. So in the last game, I gave the players the opportunity to, they discovered a panel next to a door, and I said, if you spend a destiny point, you can, it can be one of those Star Wars panels that you just shoot and it opens the door. Otherwise, you're going to have to slice it yourself. You can also say this to have, like, tools that you need, or to be like, oh, of course I brought a fire extinguisher, you know, like those kinds of things that would otherwise be coincidental for your character. It's just sort of the force helping you out. So to generate that pool, if everybody goes to their character sheet, you will find above the dice pool and below your stats, there's a destiny pool there.
Mm-hmm.
On the left, just click roll destiny for me, and this will start to generate the pool. I just need everybody to roll it.
Okay. Oh,
thanks. Thanks, everybody. Jeez. More, please.
I'm sorry, what tab is it in?
It's on, let's see, it's on your destiny pool. You want to click roll destiny.
Oh, shit, it's on the first page. Okay.
Left-hand side, yeah, first page. Character sheet.
Perfect. Okay, so we got three dark side and one light side. So that means I'm going to start with a pretty hefty advantage.
Oh, God.
I'll set that and sync for you. But as I use my pool, it's going to give dice to you. So it's okay. It just means that I start with more influence at the beginning. The dark side is strong to begin the game.
Wait a minute. No practice roll?
No, that's all good. All right, so the dark side of the force is strong in this place. There's an ominous sense as you, Gunnar, as you head out, the bubbling of the swamp and the cries of the swamp creatures in the distance. There's something unsettling about this place. So to make your roll, I think to see if you get spotted, if anybody notices you being stealthy, I'm going to say it's just an average difficulty roll. So to make that roll, in the dice pool section of your sheet, you can see on the right there are modifiers for black dice, purple dice, and red dice. If you can just click up twice on the purple die, that'll give you two purple dice. Then you can scroll down and click your stealth roll.
That's just
Where do I add them again?
It's under dice pool. So under your wounds and strain, that section, then there's destiny pool, then dice pool. So click up twice next to the purple die.
Okay.
And then roll your stealth once you have two dice in the two purples in the pool.
Just out of curiosity, was my last roll good or bad? My test roll.
I mean that would have been really good, but you had no opposition, so it's kind of like there we go. Okay. So what you're seeing here is each die will give you success or advantage if they're good dice. So blue, green, and yellow are all really good. Purple dice will give you threat, which is the little Death Star looking symbol, or failure, which is the triangle. Bad symbols wipe out good ones, and then whatever's left is your result. So you have one success and one advantage. So your success obviously means that you are able to be stealthy. You can approach the building successfully. So you're approaching stealthy, you're moving from tangled vine to tangled vine, staying what feels to you like you're out of the way. And then that advantage, the little wings with the dot, you can use that to, if you have strain, you can use it to reduce it. So reducing strain is good, obviously, it keeps your character from being stressed out. But you can also pass along your advantage to the next person to act. So if you want to, the next person that rolls dice will get an extra blue die on their roll because of what you did. So you can pass that along. You can see all the ways that you can spend advantage, and this is true for everybody, in the handout section of your journal. This is the little folded newspaper section in Roll 20. The rules handouts and player handouts should all be available for you. Under combat reference, there's a bunch of cool stuff that you can see there. So don't worry if it's a little like weird and overwhelming. Right now, it's a big change from rolling, you know, a d20 and checking it against a number, but you'll get used to it fairly quickly, I think. Y'all are smart individuals. I believe in you. So,
Gunnar, I'm I'm right beside the building.
Yeah, you move up to the building, and I think that the first thing that you notice is that it's not quite as abandoned as it looks. There are three speeder bikes. They're covered in like a camouflage netting, so they've thrown this net over the speeder bikes, and you can see them parked up in front on a concrete little like platform next to the base. So it looks like there are either people in there or people come and go. Using those speeders, and they're definitely not Republic issue speeders. Basically, they're like dirt bikes, basically.
And she's the only one who sees this, right?
Yeah. But you have a comm link, okay, so you can communicate back to your team.
Right, and that's what I was, because I also have like a hand scanner that is like just scans for like in one direction for like comm noise, comm static.
Mm-hmm.
Like from like if it's like too like, you know, enemies that have comms in between them. Like, I'm hoping that's like I'm getting that. Like,
yeah. So you want to check your hand scanner?
The range on it.
Yeah, I was gonna say what's the range? Because right now Gunner is at long range from you. So Gunner is kind of like up here, and the rest of you are back at sort of like long range.
And that's kind of the thing. It's kind of vague.
Okay.
It doesn't say, it doesn't have a range on it. It just says it's a.
Okay. Well, let's make a roll. You can try to get a little bit of you can make a computer's test and try to get some signal out of it. But you are at long range, so if you're pointing it at the facility, it's going to be a difficult roll.
Is it attached to your body?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say you can try and throw it to me.
Like my comm system is like it's like the scanner's wherever my like head is looking,
turning a knob on your head, trying to get a radio signal. Okay.
Well, that's what my eye is. That's what my eye thing is.
Cool. Okay, so the little like protrusion from your eye socket is like moving around, trying to get a signal.
Yeah, but it's like a hand scanner. Okay. That's yeah.
Now, do you do you want to pass your advantage on Gunner to Zed for this?
Mr. Vavran, I find it embarrassing to ask you this only just now, but what title do you prefer, Commander?
Commander is fine.
Commander, all right. Well, so far, I seem to have found three dirt bikes that could be Imperial or not. Did you hear anything about this? This building is not completely abandoned?
We have no reports. We're here specifically to investigate this right now.
Do you have any information that would make me believe that I'm about to encounter danger?
None so far. And that when I say that, I look down at the droid and I go, do you detect anything in this area that would lead us to believe otherwise?
All right, let's make that roll. So you're going to have to add some. This is basically the same thing that Gunner just did, but it's a little more difficult because you're at a distance. So
I guess I can make the decision to give him my advantage.
Yeah, basically it's the next person that rolls. There's really nothing else for you to use this advantage on. So having you up there will help him on this roll. So in your Zeke, in your dice pool, click up once next to the blue die. So that's the advantage that you get from Gunner's help. And then click three times up on the purple die. So you're going to have three purple dice, and then go ahead and scroll down and make a computer's skill check. Okay, you need to don't forget to add the difficulty dice. It's the three purple ones. It's on the three other side of.
Oh, yeah. I didn't move the cursor is why.
There you go. Yeah, so roll that again.
And try it again.
There you go. Okay. So you succeed and you have an advantage that you can pass along as well. So you can see there's kind of a momentum here. So if you needed somebody to like take a shot or analyze some of that data, you'd have an advantage to pass to them. And you got two successes. So I think that we get the sound of like static and like the signal degradation. And like it's hard to pick up a signal here because there's a lot of like stuff around you. But yeah, it looks like someone has bypassed the Alliance encryption that used to be part of the base's comm relay. They've bypassed that. They've jury-rigged something, and they're using the relay to communicate off-world. So you're picking up some kind of idle chatter between someone in orbit around the planet and this base. It comes through in in Huttese, but I imagine as a droid, you're fluent in many forms of communication.
6 million. No,
but it just sounds like two kind of like bored people like talking about, it's like just kind of idle gossip about, I don't know, like some like new model of speeder or something.
Sure.
There's definitely people in the base and they're communicating with.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
That advantage, that means I can keep that for later.
Yeah, so if you look at, there's two places you can look for advantage. If you hover over your computer skill, you can move over so you can see what each symbol does. So right. Success means you reduce the time required. You can uncover additional information. Yeah, so I'll just tell you something more about the system.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So do you want to use it for that?
To uncover some additional information, yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. So the pirates, there's more communication happening in the, like, you have another layer of encrypted information that's getting passed around somewhere else on the planet. If you want to spend that advantage, I'll give you the codes for it, and you can use it to access their network more easily.
Yes, please.
Okay, cool. So you have those stored. Just make a note later that you can access any of the people who are occupying this space, their computer codes. You're able to, and it's like it's a hack job too. Like whoever did this is an inexpert slicer.
Nice. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, yeah. So you wanna tell your commander about that?
I have discovered signal going from the planet to an outer orbit. This was not a professional job by any standards, but. They are speaking in Huttese, if that helps. But they have repurposed this for their own means.
So my character kind of nods and looks back, kind of narrows his eyes.
Is there any discussion of the X-Wings or speeders?
It appears they were having just idle chatter, sir. But one other thing. I can access any of the computer codes for this base once we get inside.
So my character nods and looks back up. And Adam, how's the area between my character and where Caitlin's character is right now? Is it completely open, or is there a lot of cover?
There's a ton of obstruction all over the place. I mean, you're like knee, depending on how tall you are, I guess, you know, you're like knee deep in sludge water. That's like opaque. There's logs and vines all over the place, hillocks of like mud. There's lots of cover if you wanted to try to advance up.
Okay. So I look at the droid, and I kind of look at Anne's character.
We're moving up. Prepare to cover us.
And I kind of angle up and point towards Caitlin's character. I need to get a list of these characters, so I stop calling them.
I'm pacing in the chat right now.
So Kes, while they're having this conversation. You know, you're not engaged with any task. I'm going to get you to make a perception check for me, please.
Okay.
So I'm going to say it's going to be actually a pretty difficult check, what I need you to do is next to, or in your pool, in your dice pool, you should have, two purple and one red die.
Okay.
So just make sure those are added in, two purple and one red. And then you can click your perception check there. Oh, you forgot the red die before you rolled. There might have been
the curse.
Yeah, you have to click out of the box. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, now we know.
Okay. All right. So whatever it is that you could have noticed, you don't. So I think. Yeah, while the two of them are having this conversation, the camera, like we see this, we pan past the Bothan and the droid between Zed and his commander, and we see in the distance pop up out of the water a kind of like greasy looking like eye stalk with a little eyeball on it, so just like bloop, pops out of the water, like looks around and then sucks back underwater, and then we see a faint like ripple in the swamp water move towards the group. So you're gonna get everybody to move up, Commander. What do you want to do?
Well, I was. okay. So
We're gonna keep slowly moving forward. Now we're gonna be moving up kind of in standard military fashion, totally at the ready. I'm looking forward. I kind of point over to Kes, kind of point her at the back third, look at Zeke, point back at the other third. So we're kind of moving up as a triangle, slowly towards Gunner.
Okay. All right. So you start to move up. Do you want to stay? Do you want to try and stay hidden?
Yes, we are. We are just try. Our goal right now is to get next to Gunner as carefully as possible while maintaining stealth and making sure we cover all of the angles we can.
Okay, perfect. So I'll get everybody to make a stealth roll. The difficulty for this roll is two. So two purple dice. So just make sure you clear your pool and then add two purple dice, click out of the box, and then click next to your stealth. Okay.
Is there an easy way to clear the pool?
Yeah, there's the little rotating arrow.
Oh, perfect. Got it. Yep.
Button is a little clear there. Okay, so Gunner stays hidden. Kes? Oh, yeah. Not... I think you need to reroll, Zeke, unless you don't have, you should at least be rolling your agility. Let me take a look at your pool here.
Oh, my agility's good.
Yeah, yeah. So you roll next to stealth. It'll give you your three dice. So when you click next to your stealth skill.
Oh, stealth is stealth is
a skill.
I'm sorry. That's okay. I'm sorry.
So, Kes, you're the one that isn't stealthy. And
whatever, I'll just kill everything. It's fine.
I was going to say, yeah, it's fine. So the two, the droid and the Bothan start to sneak up. And I think we see that ripple. And maybe you notice it right before there's a sudden splash in the water. And we get one of those shots that's like, obviously it was shot with the tentacle like wrapped around you and then pulled off, and then it was reversed for the shot, but a tentacle like pops out of the water and like lunges for you, like wraps around your leg. Let's see if it can grab you. So the thing that is attempting to attack you is going to make a melee check.
It's JP's character, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he is a tentacled beast.
He's a tentacle monster.
All right, let's see. Okay, so it's going to make melee against a two difficulty.
Well, with a lot of tentacles, you could have a lot of rifles, like sniper rifles, right?
Yeah, several sniper rifles. Yeah. Okay. All right, so the creature rolled. I rolled a success, so it means it hits you. So it's going to get to do some damage, and I have some advantage, so I can spend that advantage on some special effects, which is perfect, because that's what it wants. So this thing, the special effects of its tentacle attack are that I can do multiple attacks if I want to, but that's not what it's about. It's going to try and knock you down and pull you under the water. So it's got ensnare and knockdown, so I'm going to spend all three. So you take you're going to take some damage. You'll take 7 damage minus your soak. So what's your soak? It's pretty high, right?
4.
Okay, so you take 3 damage, and damage in this, unlike D&D, it doesn't go down, it goes up. You climb towards your wound threshold. Once you hit your wound threshold, everything after that is a critical hit. Everything before that is just sort of bumps and bruises. So it's not the actual hit that's so bad. So this like gross kind of brownish tentacle whips up out of the water, snaps around your leg and your waist, pulls you off your feet. And I think that the other members of the group, Gunner notwithstanding, because Gunner, you're still quite far away, Talra and Zed, you hear the splash, and then Kes is like gone. She's like sucked underwater.
So you said that I take 3. You said 3 damage or 3.
Yeah, 7. So 7 7 minus your soak.
Okay, so then do I add that to the wounds here under on the current?
Yeah. So just 3? Bump your current up by 3.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get pulled underwater, and this thing is like grappling with you. You're ensnared by the creature. Outside of the water, what are you gonna do? You see your gunner vanish.
Now is she out of our sight range now? Like she is.
Yeah. She just. Okay. All you see, you look over and you just see like bubbles on the surface.
Is there any high ground near us, like little hills out of the water, or is everything water around us?
Yeah, I think you can see, like, it's mostly water, but you can see, like, a little dirt hill that you could run and climb up on top of.
Okay. I'm going to look at Zeke's character, or I'm going to look at Zed.
You can just say Zeke because it's the same as Zed. Yeah.
It is. There we go. I'm going to look at Zed and I'm going to tell him,
move with me.
And at that point, I'm going to put my, I have a long range comm device, so I should be able to go right to Caitlin, I'm assuming. And I'm going to kind of look down and while moving back,
Gunner, we need you here.
And then just keep moving to the hill.
Okay. So, Gunner, at that, you turn and you can see them moving, but you don't see, Kes.
Can I cast a knowledge skill?
Yeah. If you want to make a knowledge roll as you're like running over there, what do you want to roll?
I want to find out if, you know, by fleeing from this area, if I'm going to alert anyone to my presence or if there's like someone in this building that's going to come and flank us.
Yeah. So make a, you can make a perception test. So make sure just clear your pool, and then make a standard difficulty, like medium difficulty, two purple, and then make that test. Okay. Yeah. So you get a disadvantage. But I'll give you lots of information about what you find. So that disadvantage, that threat, means that I'm going to inflict strain on you. So the stress of the situation starts to, like, basically, like, you take a little bit of strain damage. Things are not going the way you wanted. So add one to your current strain. But, it doesn't look like you've seen bases like this before. You've been in and out of old Alliance bases lots of times in your life. There was a surveillance system at some point, but it looks like it's disabled now. The camera is broken. The only way that anyone inside is going to know there's someone out here is if you try to open the door or make a loud noise, like firing blasters might alert them.
Do I know the range away that I can fire? I mean, like maybe
it'll be harder for them to hear you the further away you are. Basically, from a mechanical standpoint, we'll just use the range categories. So if you're medium range from where the base is, it'll be 2 difficulty. If you're long or extreme, it's 3 or 4, respectively.
Where do I add my strain?
It should be on the very top front of your character sheet. And there's strain threshold and then current strain. So you can just bump up current strain by 1. It's a little orange and blue section at the very top.
I'm going to attempt just to walk under the water and get her.
You're just going to dive in.
Well, okay. I was going to not necessarily dive, just kind of trump on down.
Okay.
Actually, I was going to ask for Zed, is there any tool that he has that can, because there's the only thing we see is bubbles where she got pulled under. I didn't want to just start firing into the water. I mean, we had much of a chance of hitting Anne as anything else. Is there anything that Zed can do to track the location of where she is, like a heat thing or anything where you can find where she is?
Use your cyborg magic.
Yeah, cyborg. Perfect. That's perfect, Adam. Let's do that.
That's going to be our answer to everything. Cyborg tool?
Literally every group has one. Sometimes it's Piani. Sometimes it's Bonbon. Just computer it. We'd use your droid stuff. Droid it.
Computer it.
Do so I use thing. The force and pull Anne out of the water.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a bare bones, like, they stripped a lot of stuff off me and put on what they thought was necessary. So I don't have a lot of shit right now.
I feel
also,
like that's,
my chassis can't take it, apparently.
Too full. It's all that padded equipment. Okay, well, it looks like, Cassie, you're going to have to save yourself. So
all right,
we cut to underwater, and it's like, you know, oddly lit so we can see you. There's like kind of shafts of sunlight coming through the murky water. Yeah, you're like drifting down with this thing pulling on you. And you can see somewhere at the, like, in the depths, there's more tentacles kind of like writhing their way towards you to try to pull you into its central mass. You're holding your breath. There's like some bubbles coming from you. What do you want to do?
Are you saying I can't walk down?
You're on your way. I want to give Kes a chance to do something first.
Cool.
Does my light blaster pistol work underwater? Can I try and shoot it? I don't know if they work underwater.
I know. I'm trying to think of like a cannon at time that someone's fired a blaster underwater. I don't know.
Knife or anything. So.
I have to assume that it's usable underwater. It's not like it has a chamber where there's like gunpowder in it or anything. Sure. Why not? Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going to try to like pull your blaster out and fire at it?
Yeah. I want to shoot it where it's, can I just actually, is there a way to just see if I can just pull the tentacle off my leg? Cause that's all, it's just got one tentacle around my leg, right?
Yes. Yeah. You can make a.
So can I just like free myself?
you can make an opposed test to try to free it, free yourself from it. Okay. So the difficulty of that test, it's going to be, I think athletics.
Super easy.
Is the skill? Yeah, it's an athletics. It's an athletics test.
All right.
The difficulty is going to be it's brawn, which is four. So put four purple triangles, put four dice into your pool, four purple dice, and then make a make an athletics test.
All right.
Oh, boy.
What is that?
That's a very bad result.
So here's the thing. Yeah, that's it's you succeed, but at great cost, right? So when you get the little explosions, that means successes. So you do get a success. You do like pull the tentacle off, but thank it's God. Probably like barbed or something, and so a bunch of your like skin and stuff come with it. So I need to spend that that threat. So let's see. That's a lot of threat to spend. Okay, so the active character falls prone. You're already prone. Grants the enemy a significant advantage in the ongoing encounter, such as accidentally. Okay, so I'm going to spend three of them. So when you pull the tentacle off, it's wrapped around your holster and it like grabs your gun and it pulls your gun away from you.
What?
So it takes your blaster with it. Okay. And then you're going to suffer, how many did you get? How many disadvantage? Like six?
Four, five, six, seven.
Seven, okay. So
one,
three
I means, got one. No, just kidding.
Three means you lose your blaster temporarily. It's not gone forever, but three means you lose your blaster. Two means you're going to suffer a black die on your next action. So you have a disadvantage on your next action. So it's five. And then you suffer two more strain on top of that.
Okay, so so two strain total?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I add that now.
But you're free. You pull the thing's tentacle.
I'm free. At least I'm not drowning.
Yeah, it grabs your blaster and like you have to unhook the holster belt and it pulls that away and then you burst to the surface as Zed comes rushing over.
Can we immediately go help her? Like this because we're I'm assuming looking at the surface for signs of her.
Yeah. So Zed was already on the way. She basically just like dipped under and then pops up covered in swamp water. There's bits of like gunk stuck to your face. There's some space there, and I think actually to keep this structured, let's actually use the initiative system to see when the Dianoga is going and when you're going. So to do that, if you click on your token, so click on yourself, and then go to your character sheet. Under combat, there's a section. There's a little checkbox called Show Initiative. Make sure that the checkbox is checked, and then there's two initiatives. There's cool or vigilance. This is a cool check because you're prepared. You knew something was up.
Okay.
So go ahead and just click the – everybody click the D20 next to your initiative, and it'll automatically start adding you to the order, and then I'll roll for the Dianoga.
I don't even want to roll anymore. Let's just kill me off. It's fine. God damn it.
Okay.
The coolly prepared vigilance.
Yeah, so it's cool. It's the cool version cool. Okay. of initiative. Cool initiative. That's okay. The Dianoga is slow AF.
Shit.
So
I didn't clear my pool.
Okay, yeah, just clear your pool and roll again.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you're not rolling against any difficulty. This is just like a plain roll as is. I'm gonna clear the whole thing because it's all full of rolls now. All right, everybody, just reroll.
Okay.
We make sure you don't have any bad stuff in your pool. Just roll your initiative. Yeah, perfect. Okay, Dianoga. Excellent. Okay, so. Let's take our first break here, and when we come back, I'll explain what the initiative order means and why it says PC instead of your character's name.
Sweet.
Player character.
Cool. Yeah. Stick around. Dianoga, tentacles.
I survived in the second hour. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Kes didn't die yet. Stick around. We'll be back with more Balance of Power right after this.